Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8, Gavol v'Amon v'Amolek Pleshes im Yoshvei Tor. Gavol and Amon and Amolek Plishtiya with the inhabitants of Tzur. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9, Gam Ashur Nilva Imam Hoyu Zeroa with Nate Lot Selam. Assyria also is joined with them. They have been an arm of the children of Lot Selam. There came Gevel and Amon and Amalek, Plishtim with the inhabitants of Tzur, all neighboring peoples in Assyria from afar, also is joined with them. The lot of them have been an arm of the children of Lot. They joined their might to assist Amon and Moab, the descendants of Lot, who were the principal aggressors. Until that time, Assyria had kept away from the council of folly to fight against Hashem that originated with the Babel generation, as it says, out of that land of Shinar went forth Assyria and built Nineveh. But here also is joined with them, they allied themselves with the neighboring children of Lot for this evil purpose. When Assyria originally separated itself from the other peoples who rebelled against Hashem, he granted them four lands. Yet now they also rebelled, notwithstanding that they saw you reward the righteous. The Targum says, also Sanherib, king of Assyria, allied himself with them. Our sages teach that when Assyria too joined with them for the purpose of destroying the Holy Temple, Hashem said, yesterday a chick, a froach, and today an egg. Yesterday Assyria blossomed mafriach with good deeds, as it says, out of that land went forth Assyria, whereupon Hashem gave them Nineveh. But look at it now. The Medrash says 10 peoples are mentioned in this chapter, and David saw prophetically that the evil Edom, one of those 10, will destroy the holy Beis HaMikdash. Hence he cursed them that the same fate befall them as befell Midian, Sisera, Oreb, and Zeab, and Zobah, and Tarmun. That's going to be found in the next few psukim, who came to inherit the land of Israel and perished. David was also to curse them with another 10 curses. It is stressed that the great king of Assyria joined the inferior and despicable children of Lot. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10, Asay lahem ki Midian ki Sisera ki Yavin ben Nachal Kishon. Do to them as to Midian, as to Sisera, as to Yavin, and the brook of Kishon. Do to them what you did to Midian at the hands of Gideon the son of Joash, who put them all to the sword, as found in Sefer Shoftim. Do to them as to Sisera, as to Yavin, who were annihilated by Devorah and Borak at the brook of Kishon. As it says in the Song of Devorah, the brook of Kishon swept them away. This is found in Sefer Shoftim. Although there is peace among them, let this not suffice to save them, for their enmity is for an evil purpose. Compare it to one who says, I will sin, and then Yom Kippur will atone for my sin, which is of no avail. Therefore, do to them as to Midian. Midian is mentioned, similarly we find in Sefer Shoftim, and so it was when Israel had sown, that Midian and Amalek and the children of the east came up against them, and they camped against them, and destroyed the produce of the earth. The singular verb Ola appears to indicate that they had all come for one common purpose, because they vilified and blasphemed. The Torah says here, as to Sisera, as to Yavin. Although they all came for the same purpose, Midian is mentioned first to convey that the others had consulted together to do like Midian. Do to them as to Midian. The destruction of Midian occurred during the confusion that Hashem brought upon them, and they killed one another, as found in Sefer Shoftim. As to Sisera, as to Yavin, the king of Hazor, the confusion from Hashem also struck them. As it says, and Hashem confounded Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Borak. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Nishvedu ve'ein dor hoyudomen ladoma, who were destroyed at Ein Dor, they became as dung for the earth. The Midianites were destroyed at Ein Dor. This site where they met their doom is not mentioned in Sefer Shoftim. The army of Sisera and Yabin became as dung for the earth. Their corpses were not buried, but lay spread out like fertilizer upon the soil. Some say that all their armies were annihilated at Ein Dor, as it says in the hand of the children of Israel, prevailed more and more against Yabin, the king of Canaan, as found in Sefer Shoftim. But only one army of Midianites were destroyed by the Jews. The corpses of those armies were not buried, and the same fate befell the armies that came against Yerushalayim and were destroyed. Thus it says, and they will go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men who have rebelled against me. Pasuk that is found in Sefer Yishayahu. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Shiseimo kedivemo keorev evuch zevach v'salmuno kol nesichemo. Make their nobles like Orev and Zev, and all the princesses like Zeva and Salmuna. Destroy the nobles of all the peoples that now march against Yerushalayim. Just as earlier we find a pasuk that says, in Sefer Shoftim, you destroy the nobles of Midian, Orev and Zeev. Destroy all their princesses like Zeva and Salmuna, the kings of Midian whom Gideon killed. Just as the army chieftains and the kings of Midian were killed by Gideon in retribution for their barbaric cruelty, for the same reason destroy at this time the commanders and kings of the invading armies. Why does the Torah refer to these cruel invaders as nobles, Nedivim? This may be clarified by means of a parable. A man came into a new town and asked for the mayor. The mayor is a depraved individual, he was told. Why then was he appointed mayor? Asked the stranger. Simple. He is violent and a vicious man. When he announced his candidacy, we were all afraid to oppose him. That's how he was appointed mayor. It is the same here. They call themselves nobles and princesses. They have made themselves great, proclaiming here, let us take for ourselves the habitations of Hashem. Such nobles deserve to be punished and destroyed, for they are as the fire that burns the forest. The pasuk that we're going to learn very soon. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Asher Amru Nirsha Lanu Eitno Salakim, who said, let us take for ourselves the habitations of Hashem. Those others came with the intent to inherit the land of Israel, the habitations of Hashem. From us they met their doom. Let the same fate befall these nations. Do not exact vengeance principally on our account, because they want to destroy us. Do so because they vilified and blasphemed, declaring, let us take for ourselves the habitations of Hashem. They said, let us go up to heaven and take over Hashem's dwelling place. Thus we find that Sancheriv at one time said, I have entered into the farthest lodge, a pasuk that is found in Melachim Beis. And another time he said, I will enter into his farthest height, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yishayahu. That is, he said, at first he wanted to demolish the dwelling below, and then the dwelling on high. Similarly, we find that Nebuchadnezzar said, I will ascend above the height of the clouds. The same was true of the Babel generation, who said, come, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach to heaven, and let us make a name. Pasuk that is found in Sefer Bereishis. With the interpretation that the psalm is speaking about the war waged by the invaders against Yehoshaphat, let us take for ourselves the habitations of Hashem corresponds to what it says here. Behold, they paid us back by coming to cast us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit, as found in Divrei Hayomim Beis. Pasuk Yudalit, Pasuk 14. Alokai Shiseimo Chagalgal Kekash of Neiruach O Hashem, make them like whirling chaff, like stubble before the wind. In his prayer for Hashem's vengeance, the singer says here, O Hashem, make them like whirling chaff. Some say, make them like the rolling sphere, galgal, of heaven, whose whirling is without respite. Make them like dung, golal, and stubble pushed along by the wind. Stubble or straw, being so light, whirls helplessly in the wind. Similarly, we find like whirling stubble before the storm, a puzzle that is found in Yishayahu, chapter 17. A subtle interpretation says, make them like the wheels of a windmill that turn in the wind, and the speed of their turning makes them invisible. Make them like the stubble that lies about on the ground before the wind comes, and everyone can see how lowly it is. unlike for Israel, the success and prosperity of these nations depends on the constellations. Hence the Torah says, O God, make them like the rolling sphere. Their success should be like the ever-turning sphere that never arises. It goes on to turning and to in same time descends. After these nations descend to their lowest condition, let them be like stubble before the wind. Thus our sages teach, the scattering of the wind over the wicked is better for them and better for the sword. Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15. Ke'esh tivar yo'ar lahava talahid horim. As the fire that burns the forest and as the flame that sets the mountains ablaze. Let them be consumed as by a fire that burns the forest. A fire in the forest spreads quickly, especially when there is also a wind. Let them perish as by a flame that sets the mountains, the trees on the mountains ablaze. Let them perish as by the fire that burns the barren trees of the forest, and as by the flame that sets the mountains ablaze. Just as wind and fire overpower and consume everything, roots and all, so let their root and leaf cease to exist. As it says, in the house of Yaakov will be fire, and the house of Yosef flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they will kindle them and devour them, and there will not be any remainder of the house of Esau, as the Pasuk is found in Sefer Avadim. Because the forest has many trees, they are all quickly ignited by one igniting the other. Thus, as the fire that burns the forest, by one tree burning its neighbor, so will the enemy destroy each other. As it says in Yeshayahu, the people are as the fuel of the fire. No man spares his brother. Pasuk Kazayin, Pasuk 16. Kain tir defeim b'msarecho sufascho antepalim. So pursue them with your tempest and frighten them with your storm. The singer's plea continues. So pursue them with your tempest, the raging wind that hurls everything before it, and frighten them with your storm that turns back on itself and drives them back. Frighten them and turn them away from their evil designs. Pasuk Yizayin, Pasuk 17. Malei feneihem kolon vibakshu shimcha Hashem. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Hashem. Let retribution afflict them measure for measure, even as they intend to heap shame upon you. Fill their faces with shame. Let them be disgraced for what they sought to do to us. Should they plead before you, seek your name, O Hashem, to make them stand up again, do not answer them. They seek to gain glory by our shame, so fill their faces with shame. Let them be humiliated before us. Only then will they seek your name, O Hashem. They will recognize that there is no one besides you, that everything is in your hands of, as we learn it to Shem in Neder to Pesukim. Pasuk Yudches, Pasuk 18. Yevoshu v'bahalu adei ad v'yachpuru yovedu. Let them be ashamed and frightened forever. Yes, let them be humiliated and perish. This will be their second shame, to perish and remain disgraced forever. Pasuk Yudches, Pasuk 19. V'yedu ki ato shimcha Hashem levadecha elyon kol oretz. Then they will know that you alone are He whose name is Lord, the Most High over all the earth. Thus Zechariah prophesies on the day that Hashem will be one, and His name one, found in Zechariah, everyone will know that everything in your hand and in your possession. Then they will know not to put their trust in their supernal angels, but in Hashem, for the angels function by His power. You alone are Most High and over all the earth. They will know that even though you are the Most High, you supervise over all the earth. Pasuk Aleph, Chapter 84. Na'anetzeach al Gittis ibn Korach Mizmor, to the conductor upon the Gittis a psalm of songs of Korach. Pasuk 2. Ma'yididus mishkunasecha Shem Tzvos. How beloved are you, the tabernacles, O Hashem of hosts. In the present psalm, the singer gives expression to his yearning for Zion, for Zion, and the pinning of his soul for a return to chanting songs in Hashem's Beis Hamikdash. He acclaims those who continue to look forward to redemption, offers a prayer for the building of the Beis Hamikdash, and pleads for the horn of the house of David to be exalted. He expresses not only his own yearnings, but the longing of all exiles for the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. That is to say, what they mainly long for is knowledge to fathom the glory of the Creator to the utmost limit of human intelligence. How beloved to me are your tabernacles, the synagogues and houses of study in exile. Nevertheless, my soul yearns, yes, even pines, in great anguish and desire for the courts of the law, to be there in the courts of house of God. There my heart and my flesh will rejoice in song to the living God. But here in exile my flesh cannot sing, for I am taken up with the demands of survival. Some say that David composed this psalm as a fugitive in exile. He expresses his longing for the site where the Ark of the of Hashem and the altar will eventually be located. Our sages teach that those who love to be present in shuls and Beis Midrashim, houses of study, love Hashem. Thus it says, how beloved are you, tabernacles, and hence how beloved are you, O Hashem of hosts. What is more, both the Beis Hamikdash itself and those who build it are called beloved, Yidin. As it says about Shlomo, the Torah, Hashem's praise for him, and the prophet Nathan called his name Yedidjo. This is found in Shmuel. Those also are called beloved upon whose land the Beis Hamikdash stands. As it says in the book of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of Hashem, Yedid Hashem, he will dwell in safety by him. A pasuk is found in the Chumash Devarim. Similarly, David said, your beloved ones may be rescued. Because there's so much accumulated loss for this site, it is certain that Hashem will rebuild the Beis Hamikdash on this site. Thus the pasuk says, how beloved are your tabernacles, and how many indications of love, therefore will the site once again become the site of your tabernacles. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. The nichtzafor v'gam kolso nafshi lechatois Hashem libi uvsori yiranenu el kel choy. My soul yearns, yes, even pines, for the courts of Hashem. My heart and my flesh rejoice in song to the living God. My soul yearns, yes, even pines. So deep was the anguish of my yearning that my soul almost expired in pining for the courts of law. Suppose one receives an invitation from a king of flesh and blood. If he is admitted only as far as the courtyard of the palace, not into the palace proper, he will certainly feel the degrees of disappointment. But I, says the singer, I yearn just as much for the courts of the Lord. He makes it clear that this is not simply a desire to bask in the protective shade of the Almighty. Rather, my heart and my flesh rejoice in song to the living God. The soul and the body both together want to rejoice in song. This is not possible in exile where we are steeped in affliction and cannot serve Him. A related interpretation says that this also refers to the exile of divine presence. As it says later on in Tehillim, I will be with Him in trouble. The congregation of Israel says, how precious to me is your love that you dwell with us in exile. Notwithstanding that the Shekhinah is in exile together with us, I yearn to be in Shalayim, the dwelling place of Hashem. I want to be at the site towards which all prayers are directed. This longing of the exiles for the Holy Beis Hamikdash nourishes them like an extra godly light within their midst. My soul both yearns and pines. Material lust, once they are sated, will abate. Yearning for the courts of Hashem is different. The more passionate one yearns, the more intense is the yearning of one's soul. For the courts of Hashem have a perpetual power of attraction, and one's longing is as a flame reaching upwards. It is indicated when one mourns in prayer for the destruction of the holy Beis Hamikdash, he merits that henceforth his prayers involve the mind and the body. As it says, my soul yearns, yes, even pines for the courts of Hashem. My heart and my flesh rejoice in song to the living God. The righteous have the power to transform even their bodies into a spiritual entity, whereupon they experience deeply the Almighty and attain a superior level of existence. As the singer says, bless Hashem, O my soul, and all that with me. Blessed be His holy name. The soul is matched by the body in acclaiming Hashem's great and holy name. My soul yearns, yes, even pines for the courts of Hashem. A subtle interpretation says, let my soul be a dwelling place of Hashem. As it says in Chumash Shmos, let them make for me a sanctuary, that I may dwell within them. It does not say within it, but within them. And it says the temple of Hashem are these. The pasuk is found in Yirmiyahu. Thus it says in Hosea, simply, I am the Holy One inside of you, but Kivachem. The singer conveys that his soul yearns for refined and lucid thought in order to serve Hashem. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Gam Tzipor Matzo Bayis Uduror Kein Lo Asher Shoso Efrachecho Es Mizbechosecho Hashem Tzevoos Malki Velohoi. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. The singer explains why his soul yearns and pines for the courts of Hashem. Even the sparrow has found a home. It has the instinct to establish a home for itself out of straw and reeds, clay and earth. And the little swallow has a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Hence, it must assuredly be so concerning myself, who am possessed of intelligence, that my soul yearns, yes, even pines to dwell at your altars, O Lord of hosts, who are my King and my God. My soul yearns, yes, even pines for the courts of the Lord. And I wander in search of you, but I do not find you. Yet the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow has her own nest. The pasuk also alludes here to Israel in Golus and exile. She longs for a return to the Holy Land and to the Beis Hamikdash. The Torah says, even the birds have found a home there by making their nest on the devastated site of your altars. But we cannot come there to celebrate. We cannot bring offerings in the same manner as the people of Israel have done in the past. Pasuk is thus a lament over the destruction of the holy Beis Hamikdash. In its ruins, the birds have found a home. The devastation is so complete that the sparrow and the swallow stand unperturbed on its altars. Similarly, it says, the mountain of Zion, which is desolate, foxes prowl over it. That's a pasuk that's found in Megillas Eicha. The singer speaks prophetically of the Beis Hamikdash after its destruction, when all that remains are the courts of the Lord, and only birds make their homes there. Nonetheless, my soul yearns, yes, even pines for those courts. My consolation is that the Lord of hosts will one day again be my King and my God in the Beis Hamikdash. The singer laments the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash and the fact that the sparrow has found a home there. She could not have done so when the Beis Hamikdash stood. The Torah law prohibits defilement of the site. The sparrow and the swallow have found a home for hatching their young near your altars of long ago. They were your altars when you were my King and my God in the Beis Hamikdash. The present pasuk is a natural continuation of the previous pasuk. My heart and my flesh rejoice in song to the living God. This is not a pretense from the lips outward, as in with your mouth and with their lips they do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. A pasuk is found in the Sefer Yeshayahu. Not so my heart and my flesh together rejoice in song to the living God. I look forward joyously to your altars, O Hashem of hosts, my King and my God. Even the sparrow and the swallow, incorrigible wonders, have found a home and have nested themselves where they may lay their young. But I am in a more deplorable condition. I cannot find your altars. Then again the singer is saying, how great is willpower! The sparrow and the swallow have no special attachment to human habitation. Yet they stubbornly seek out some house corner to build a nest where they might lay their young. And surely then I too can expect to satisfy my desire. I desire your altars, O Lord of hosts. I want to be close to you, my King and my God. The other peoples vilify us, declaring that Hashem will not return to us. According to our sages, our enemies cite the words of Shlomo, as a sparrow that wanders from her nest, so is a man who wanders from his place. The pasuk is found in Mishlei. Here man is none other than Hashem, as it says, Hashem is a man of war, a pasuk in Chumash Shemos. The Torah pointedly mentions a sparrow rather than any other bird, such as a dove. For a sparrow whose young are taken from them does not return to it, but a dove whose young are taken away does return to its tent. Following our exile from the Holy Land, the nations taunt us, then Hashem will no longer return to us or return us to Him. However, the Jewish people replied, behold, we are likened to a dove, as found in Shir Shirim, and we shall certainly return to our own place. A different interpretation relates to the future. The nations will yet say about us, even the sparrow wandering from place to place has found a home, and the swallow nest for herself. Israel's the sparrow, the Beis HaMikdash is the nest, and the Kohanim, the priest, are the young. Now that you have returned, we see that He is your King and your God. They will not say, as they did before, that He would not return to us. The letter Kuf is traditionally written extra large. But David saw by the Holy Spirit the prophecy that the Beis HaMikdash would be 100 cubits high. Because Kuf stands for 100. By contrast, the letter Kuf in I am weary, costly of my life because of the daughters of Ches, as found in Chumash Bereishis, is diminutive. For our Imohos, Rivka foresaw that the Beis HaMikdash 100 cubits would be destroyed in the future, and here David prayed that it should not be destroyed. Pasuk Hey, Pasuk 5. Ashrei Yoshvei Vesecho Oid Veloluchasela. Happy are they who dwell in your house, they will yet praise you forever, Selah. Happy are they, the Kohanim, the priests, and the men of piety, who dwell in your house, they have found a place for serving Hashem and for secluded study. They will yet praise you forever all the days of their lives. They will yet praise you forever. Their happiness is that their praise will continue forever. The singer acclaims those men of piety and sufficient merit who have found in your house a place for serving Hashem and for secluded contemplation. There they will continue to praise you all the days of their lives. The singer is also saying, happy are they who wait until they reach high enough to dwell in your house. And who will yet praise you forever? The essence of the house of God is not the edifice itself, but the divine service and the prayer. The expression Yoshve Visecha denotes a constant condition. They always dwell in your house. Even when they occasionally leave the premises of your house, they continue to be protected by the Torah they studied inside. The alternative expression of a Yoshve Visecha would have conveyed that they were happy only when physically inside. In this psalm, David offers praise and thanksgiving for the fact that he and his descendants will merit to be seated in the house of Hashem. For no one is permitted to remain seated in the Beis HaMikdash except the kings of the Davidic dynasty, family of David. Thus he says here literally, happy are they who sit in your house, they will yet praise you forever for this privilege. We will continue, Mitzvah Shem.